Okay, I'm going to grab Lisa, and in the meantime, Fareed's going to go over who's on the call, who's the attendance.
Hi, who just joined?
Louisiana.
Great, so far I have Colorado, Louisiana, Maine, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia. Anyone else that I've missed?
Hey, Fareed, it's Anjali with the Leadership Conference.
Hi, Anjali. Great. Anyone else?
Okay, Lisa's going to join us.
Greg Wilson.
Oh, Greg, hi. Everyone's been doing a really great job giving reports in, and I want to remind folks that a non-answer, you know, if a senator is labeled as undecided and continues to be, that is a report, and as I was joking with the folks in Tennessee, I'd rather get reports that have good news, but indicating that someone is still holding their cards close to the vest, saying that they're still undecided, that is a report, and please do give those. Everyone's been doing a good job, and obviously these reports, it's now or never. Lisa should be joining us in just 1 minute. Do people have any general questions on timing? Are folks on the, hopefully you're on the morning calls at 9:15. I follow up with notes that include timing, the latest on timing. We are expecting Brownback might be pushed back after cloture for Wednesday so that there's a 51-vote threshold, and it looks like the Snow Prior Amendment, they had been negotiating and are possibly not negotiating anymore, so that's not necessarily a great thing, but we'll get out latest talking points for that. But the cloture vote is expected on Wednesday, and a final vote either Thursday or Friday. And we, the steering committee met this morning, and that includes members of the executive board, executive council, and it voted to support cloture, though still push strongly the amendments like Merkley-Levin for strengthening on the derivatives, strengthening the Volcker Rule, as well as fighting back the bad amendments, the Carper, as well as the Brownback. I'm getting, Lisa will have to give the latest information on Carper, only because I'm seeing mixed messages, I think, as people, policy people are digesting the information. I've seen both good and bad emails about the Carper Amendment and how we feel about it. I believe we're really going to be silent on it, but don't hold. I want to get that from Lisa. We're going to continue to oppose the Corker and be silent on the Carper. Let me try to find her because she does have the latest information. Hold on.
Sorry, it's Lisa. So here's the update on this set of amendments. Senator Dodds, the Banking Committee, and Senator Carper came to an agreement on a compromise on the preemption issue, and our public position is going to be silence, essentially, on the compromise. What they're going to do is vote on Corker, which is the old Carper. So the thing we used to be calling Carper is now called Corker, and we oppose it. There is a new thing, which is Carper-Dodd, we think, which we are going to be silent on. The language in the bill, underlying bill right now, was already a compromise from where it started. This is a further, fairly modest compromise from where the language was yesterday. we are not opposing it because it is significantly better than the Corker language that would otherwise pass. We are not supporting it because it's compromised from something that was already compromised. But in fact, we would like it to pass, but we would not like it. We would like to not. We'd like to preserve our ability to have the slightly stronger House language prevail if there's a conference. And as a matter of policy, you know, our big picture view is what we need is actually the language that we started with in the bill. So we're not supporting it. We're not opposing it, as I said, because we think that strategically it was an appropriate choice to head off worse preemption.
So it's a better version.
It's better than Parker. It's not better than what's in the bill now. It's slightly worse than what's in the bill now. In terms of content, so if the press wants to talk about it, we will send around a statement from Lauren Saunders, who is sort of, you know, we can use as a cheat sheet for the detail. In a way, I would defer questions on it to Lauren or Mike or Ed from reporters. It's just easier to have them.
Can I get their contact?
Yeah, I mean, give their contact information.
Okay, so I'll follow up. So Lauren just sent around something that I have, you guys do not have yet. I'll send that around along with contact information, and if you need help getting them, contact me, Eileen.
So we're sort of saying to, you know, and in terms of the advice that we're giving people in individual conversations, in writing our position is we have no position, in individual conversations, you know, we'd be happy for a bunch of the liberals to vote against this, but we'd like it to pass so that Corker doesn't pass. So, you know, if members are inclined to vote against it, that's fine and good, because, again, we would like to hold out if we have the opportunity for the slightly better House language. And in the long run, we need improvements here. But we will not be criticizing anybody for voting for it at all. We do hope it passes. On the substance, maybe the one thing that's easiest to talk about or understand is that, and the place where the change it made was quite modest, there was this question about whether the attorneys general can enforce consumer agency rules and regulations. The compromise preserves their ability to enforce those regulations. So if the CFPB, against all entities, if the CFPB makes a rule, attorneys general can enforce it. What it changes is the language in the underlying bill is a little ambiguous as to whether, in addition to enforcing specific regulations, the attorneys general could also enforce the general language in the statute about unfair, deceptive, abusive practices. And this compromise clarifies that they can enforce the specific regulations but not the general language about unfair, deceptive, and abusive practices. In many cases, there is state law about unfair and deceptive practices that they can enforce already. So that was more detail than anybody really wanted to know. Other big issues on the state of play, we continue to be very worried about this Brownback Amendment, very, very worried. It's not clear whether we're going to need 60 or 50 votes to deal with it. Even if they need 60 votes to carve out the car dealers, we are going to be hard-pressed to win. So pushing folks on that remains a huge priority. We do think that there could be a vote today still. Merkley-Levin, likely to be a vote today. Also, it is unfortunately likely that the Republicans will move to require 60 votes for that. And on our current count, we don't think we have 60 votes. It's worth continuing to push as hard as we can. Senators Levin and Merkley have made a number of compromises to hold votes, to get votes and hold votes. Not clear that they have them. If it fails, it will have had the great advantage of protecting the Volcker language in the underlying bill, so that the fight was about whether it got improved or not, rather than taking it away where it otherwise would have been. Very much worth continuing to push on this and to get the strongest vote we possibly can on it. on derivatives. We expect those votes will be tomorrow, and we expect there will be votes to weaken portions of the bill, and we are still very focused on a technical fix in the improving department. We are still pushing for a vote on private equity and venture capital, on investor protection, and on aiding and abetting, and all of these are, there's likely to be votes on all of them. And there you go. I think that's the news.
Do folks have questions?
The one sort of public piece on the derivative stuff that we're expecting for tomorrow is that one of the amendments we expect is an amendment to strip the language in the Agricultural Committee bill that requires banks to spin off their swaps desks. And it's another one, a little bit like Merkle 11, that's about trying to get banks focused on the business of actually making loans to regular people and businesses rather than speculating, gambling, and producing huge bonuses for themselves at tremendous risk for the rest of the economy. And
is that one amendment? Is that the Gregg Amendment?
That's the Gregg Amendment, yes. Thanks. There's been some reporting suggest the administration disagrees with us on this one. There's been some reporting suggesting, you know, that it's inevitable that this will be stripped, and part of our pushback on it is to organize. There's a bunch of, contrary to the way some of the reporting has been, there's a lot of serious economists and other luminaries who agree with us that this makes sense. So we've circulated to the press, and I think Eileen has sent on to people a letter from Joe Stiglitz, a letter from a group of economists at the University of Massachusetts. There's an op-ed from George Soros that ran in the Financial Times a while ago supporting this proposal. So, in fact, there's lots of people who understand the banking system well who believe that this does make sense, that this piece of our message on it.
This was more as an update, you know, because I thought Wednesday afternoon would be too late, you know, obviously on all this timing. Do people have any additional questions?
Is there a place where we can find, like, you know, written accounts on what you're talking about and the official stance for U.S. action right now?
Written accounts of our positions on the amendments?
Yes.
Well, I've been giving out, is that Amy?
No, it's Preeti. I'm from Ohio. It's just called by Progress Ohio.
Just depending on, I think we have our latest, it's somewhat more comprehensive than the field needs, but there was, I think Kimberly has been calling it cheat sheet, and just different documents. I think depending on the, if and this can be spoken offline, if there's individual questions on amendments, I've been sending out our talking points, our letters, which our letters can be basically talking points as well. So it depends on what the specific amendment is.
Okay.
Let me actually raise two other points that are new that I don't know that we've talked about on the field calls before, but people should know and are important for communicating with offices today. There's an amendment offered by Senator Snow and Pryor initially that sounds like a friendly minor gesture towards small business consultation, but that we feel strongly would have the unintended consequence of requiring some of the worst of the bottom feeder lenders, like payday lenders or debt collectors, to giving them the right to comment and be consulted on regulations before they became available to the public. So they would have sort of the first shot at dealing with regulations by an agency designed to represent and protect consumers. Their first shot would also delay the regulations by 4 to 6 months and provide a whole bunch of extra legal procedural handles for them to mess with good regulation. We think that those are unintended consequences of what looked like, just as I said, a modest gesture towards small business. There is now an alternative amendment that's going to be offered as a side-by-side to it, which is a Landrieu-Dodd amendment, which give small businesses a special recognition in the regulatory process with regard to the consumer agency, but puts that off doesn't give them a first shot. They get to see and weigh in on the regulations at the same time as the rest of us do, rather than first. And so we want to be very clear in communicating to offices that we oppose the Snow prior amendment, and I mean, can circulate our letter on that, and that we actually support this Dodd-Landrieu substitute.
I'll send around info.
And folks should know from their folks from Louisiana on the call that people feel strongly that are very appreciative of Senator Landrieu for having worked on this alternative that would soften the blow that the initial amendment would be.
And I'll, if there's, again, I'm not shutting down, if there's a particular amendment that you need help on, a letter, what, I don't care that we sent it out before or not, I'll resend it, but I think that's a case by case. Folks can just email me and we'll get you those documents. Letters of support, talking points, et cetera.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? We'll keep our field call to 3 o'clock tomorrow again,
Parker.
Just another check-in. And questions, points? Okay then, thanks everyone. You're doing a great job, and just a few more days and we'll hopefully have this vote. Thank you.